Good. He's still working on me, too. Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you should be somewhere beginning around Jeremiah. While you're doing that, I want to say hello to those that are tuning in on our YouTube channel. We thank you for finding us and for visiting with us week after week. Those that are listening in our website, we welcome you as well. And thank you for the prayers. Return, this is the first Sunday back from an extended mission trip. So thank you for listening and joining in with our worship with us every Sunday. Thank you, Gary McFarland, Kevin DeRamus, and Robert Kinsey for filling in the pulpit while I was away. We have a deep bench here, so thank y'all for doing that. Brother Gary is filling in also this morning, so we pray for him as well. Thank you, First Baptist Burton, for allowing me the time to minister and to be ministered to on the mission field, and for continuing to faithfully serve and worship the Lord. And finally, thank you to our extended family beyond these pews who are faithful to pray for the ministry of this church. We thank you so much, and we include you as a part of our family here. I would direct your attention to that very subject of prayer in our text in Jeremiah chapter 33. The Bible said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, the Lord, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Have you ever, or I could ask it this way, when was the last time that you heartfelt, truly thanked the Lord for a glass of cool water? For a slice of warm bread, maybe with some butter on it. Homemade preserves, that's even better. When was the last time you just truly thanked the Lord for it? How about a hot shower? A change of clean clothes. And if you're like my wife, when you put that t-shirt on, you smell all that stuff she adds in there, you know. So you just kind of keep it over your head a few minutes before you pull it on down. You're like, whoa. Brother Griggers washed a load of my clothes while I was there. And when I put the t-shirt on, it didn't smell like somebody loved me when my wife does it. You're listening, brother. Thank you for doing that, though. When was the last time that you truly, heartfelt, thanked the Lord for a place to live? Place that's dry when it's raining. We can remember that far back. Place that's warm when it's cold. A place that's cool when it's hot. When's the last time you thanked the Lord that you had a car? What about when's the last time you asked thank the Lord for money in your pocket and in your bank account. What about a job? Or, as the case with some, a retirement from a job? Let me ask it this way. Have you ever, or when was the last time you were thirsty and there was no place to get any water? When you were hungry and there was no food, and no way to get food, no access to bathe, no change of clothes, just the clothes on your back, your suitcase went to the United States and you stayed in Germany another day. And the people in line would go, have you ever been homeless? In 1995, I celebrated Thanksgiving at Star Hope Mission in downtown Houston. Ever been wet? Cold? Hot? You ever had to walk because there was no money for a bus or transportation? How'd you like to have to walk to Brenham every day? Unless you're in Brenham. How'd you like to have to walk to Burton to church from Brenham? You ever been without money? Or even maybe access to the money you have and you couldn't get to it? Have you ever been without, you ever lose your job and you couldn't find another one right away? Please listen to the indictment of the members of a particular church, which also corporately represented most Christians during a particular age of time. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, he says this to the Laodicean church. He said, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what they thought was their true condition. But their actual condition, he said, you knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you're one way when you're actually the exact opposite. When we're rich and increased with goods, we tend to take things for granted. I mean, most people now, if you're thirsty, you don't even hardly get thirsty before you even get thirsty. You get that water, and all you have to do is go up to the refrigerator and stick that glass into the door and instant water. When we think we have everything that we need and that we're set, we tend not to be thankful. We instead are just glad of our position. The closest we get is, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that homeless person with his hand out wearing those old dirty clothes and stinks. Let's move on from things. Have you ever, or when was the last time you heartfelt, truly thanked the Lord for your wife? Be without her for a few weeks. Your husband, your son or sons, your daughter or daughters, grandchildren, your mom, your dad, a good friend. Do we not tend to take these people for granted because we have them, we see them every day, or we talk to them every day? Let's move on from people. Have you ever, or when was the last time that you heartfelt, truly thank the Lord for your salvation, for your home in heaven, for mercy, that we're not going to get what we deserve, for grace, that we got what we didn't deserve, for faith, to take these words, apply them, and live them out. For this itself, for the Bible, for the Word of God, we can hear from God instantly. For our church. You ever been without a church? For our church family, which makes the church. Ever been without the fellowship and the love and the support of brothers and sisters in Christ that pray for you, that genuinely care for you, that love you because the Lord makes them love you? Taking what we have for granted and not daily thanking the Lord for what He has given to us affects how we pray and for how long and what priority that we put in our lives of prayer. May I politely ask, how long did you pray this morning? Did you pray this morning? Think back on this past week. How long? A few minutes? How much? Every day? How earnestly did you pray? Let's read our text again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Where was he when it came? In prison. Somebody in prison wishes they were anywhere else. They begin to realize what a privilege it was to have a place to live and to have freedom to go here and go there. Jeremiah shut up. We're told that there's barely enough bread to eat. But the word of the Lord comes to him. It's amazing when we get into a position where we cannot do something or scheme our way out of something, all of a sudden we begin to tune in to what the Lord is saying. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is His name. You see the emphasis on the name of the Lord. Now we know it's the Lord is YHWH in Hebrew. The Jews, for fear of breaking the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, they put together these four consonants to represent the name of God. Now without vowels, a word cannot be verbally pronounced. So the idea when you saw those four consonants that you could not pronounce, you could not take the name of the Lord in vain. But Gentiles, not having that fear, they put vowels to it. And English, they put it Jehovah. Or to keep the Hebrew pronunciation, they called it Yahweh. In other words, this is God the Father, who says here in these three verses to call upon me. God is saying this. I'm not telling you this. God is. God says, call unto me, and I, God, will answer thee. The first thing I want you to see, I got to get my voice used to preaching in here. God is the one who says this. This is an absolute promise from the Lord God Almighty. This is not from Jeremiah. This is not from me. This is not from a theologian. This is not from your Sunday school teacher. God says, call unto me and I will answer you. Comes down to really a matter of simple belief. Simple belief in these words that we're looking at in verse 3. Oh, thank you, brother. You'll not lose a prophet's reward for that. Actually, I did that, so I was thirsty and I wanted a glass of cool water. So I could thank the Lord and thank Brother Kevin for that. Amen. See, if you don't get thirsty, people don't have an opportunity to minister to you. Ladies, I'm really hungry. It really shows, doesn't it? Yeah. Where was I? This is an absolute promise from God. And it comes down to, do we really believe this or do we not? To answer yourself, if you really believe it, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be praying. If you don't believe it, it's not going to be a priority. Oh, you might say a few words every now and then, or maybe when you get into serious trouble, you might try to get a hold of God, or you might read a list. But I mean, really spending time, you and God, you speaking to Him, God speaking to you. You say, how does God do that? Well, do you or do you not believe this absolute statement of promise from God Himself? Which brings us to the second thing here. That's a problem. Here in verse 3, He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. And notice the last four words, which thou knowest not. Here's an absolute promise directly from the Lord God Himself. But these last four words of the verse reveals an imperfect defect in us. There's some things that we don't know. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot of things we don't know. Now, I know that flies in the face of some of you who think you know everything. I'm like that guy said, when I was a teenager, I had the dumbest dad in the world. But it's amazing as I grew older how much smarter he got. This brings us back to the simple matter of simple belief in these words of the Lord. Do you or do you not believe that you do not know as much as God does? Be careful, because if you believe this statement in verse 3, you're confessing your dependence upon the knowledge and wisdom of God and not your own. It means that if God doesn't reveal something to you by faith in His Word, as recorded in these pages through prayer, you are never going to know yourself by your own means. It's going to mean that He's God and we're not. This imperfect defect in us that's caused by that inherent sin and that sin nature will keep us from living out this verse daily and from truly believing and applying and enjoying this verse and what God wants to do in our lives. There's some things that God is going to do according to His will, regardless of what we do. But there's some things that He has available to us that He will only give if we ask. The number one problem that's standing in our way, there's two. The first one is we're asking the Lord for something that will glorify us and accomplish our will and our purpose and not God's. We're praying with no regard to what God, what His will, what His purpose is. We just want this pain to stop. We just want this problem to go away. Never mind that it may be what God says that we need for that particular time. He still answers, like when our children ask for a loaded gun to play with, we say, thank you, I was beginning to wonder. There's some things that our children ask for that we know is going to harm them. So does our Heavenly Father. Even though we don't know it, even though we don't see it. But He still answers. We call upon Him and He says, no, child. Instead, He gives us something that we do need that's even better. And He shows us this, and we finally figure out, thank you for not answering that prayer. Remember some of the prayers we've prayed, and you say, oh boy, if God would have answered that one. But you see, if we don't want God's will, we won't pray for it. The second thing that's standing in our way, besides time, the second thing that's standing in our way of living out verse 3 is our intellect. That fallen intellect. That thing that is your idol that you use before you use faith or in the place of faith. You see, we want to know when we call upon God, when we pray, we want to know how God is going to answer that, how He's going to take care of that. So as we call upon Him with our problem, with our situation, with our decision, we begin to ask ourselves, how's God going to do this? I mean, if I can't solve it, how's God going to? We begin thinking how instead of who. You're putting your mind and yourself as the final authority instead of the Lord and His Word. Even though the Lord clearly commands something, you're waiting till you understand it, till you agree with it, till you have it figured out, until you buy into it as something that you should do. I'm going to tell you something, you're going to be waiting a long time. Have you figured out yet how God has done what He's already done? I don't even know how this little thing works. It took it took the media ministry a good while to teach me how to turn it on. And then I forget sometimes, and they're back there going. Right now, there's people on the other side of the world watching this. There's people in Pennsylvania, Tennessee. They're watching this. I don't know how they're I don't know how that works. But you know what? I don't have to. All I have to do is just do what God's called me to do. And they do all that stuff back there. I remember the first few times I preached, there wasn't a microphone. I mean, in East Texas, that's why everybody preaches so loud. In East Texas, there's no microphones. I remember the first microphone that I preached in, and the poor guy, to this day, he wears hearing aids. He had those, whatever you call them things. Yeah, those. And he said, okay, go ahead. And boy, I fired off. And boy, he threw them things and, you know, just went like that. I don't know how that stuff works, but I don't need to. See, that's not my job. And that's just stuff we can see. What about what God does? He said, call unto me and I will answer. That's my part. I'll answer your part. Call unto me. Get hold of the promise. Not how God's going to do it. All I do is call. All I do is pray. And God does the rest. Quit trying to help Him. Quit trying to tell Him how to do it when you pray. Adam called unto God for a wife. Can you see him trying to figure out how God's going to make him a wife from his rib? Abraham and Sarah called unto God for a son. Sarah got to trying to figure out the how, and she said, I got it. God wants us to do something about it. And now the Middle East is filled with Arabs circling Israel because of that. Hannah called unto God for a son. The woman with an issue of blood said in her heart, if I can just touch him, just touch the hem of his garment. Blind Bartimaeus called upon the Lord. Martha and Mary called unto God to heal their brother Lazarus. Until he died. Then he showed up. He's dead. You're too late. How can God do anything about the situation now? Lazarus, come forth. Martha and Mary would have never figured out the how of their prayer. You see, if we just quit worrying about how and just do what the Lord said to do and just pray, just call unto Him, He will answer us and He'll show us in His power, in His will, in His time, things that we could not even imagine or think. Listen to what these two verses say. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I asked God to save me, I had no earthly idea how He could do it. You didn't know me then, thank the Lord. How could He take somebody like I was and begin to make me righteous like Jesus? I'd have never figured that one out. I still don't. Talk about Adam praying for a wife. When I prayed for a wife, I had no idea what He was going to give me. She didn't either for a whole year. Man, you're talking about Beauty and the Beast. Wow. Now, how could He take somebody like me and put me here? I'd never figure out how God's going to do that, but He did. And still does. I just called on Him to put me where He wants me, doing what He wants me to do. We just do our part, the Lord does His. You're asking this month, as a church family, where does the Lord, what ministry does the Lord want me to serve in this next year? Call unto Him, and He will answer and show you things that you don't know right now. And He'll enable you to do what He's called you to do. If we would just simply believe these words and trust His word at face value, God reveals Himself through this word. Do you need His salvation? Call unto Him. He'll answer you. You're in a situation that there's no possible way it's going to work out. Call unto Him. He'll answer you. In His time, in His power, and in His will, He'll show you things you could have never, ever imagined. Call unto Me. God asks you this morning. He promises, I will answer you. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You that we have it. Thank You we can place all of our faith, all of our trust in these words. Thank You for that, Lord. Lord, thank You for the privilege, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at any time of the day or night, we can call unto You. And You'll answer us. We're never alone. We're never forsaken. Regardless of what the world does and has done, Lord, You love us and you keep us in the palm of your hand and in the hollow of your heart. Lord, may we take our eyes off of our situation and off of self. May we take our eyes off the condition of the world. And may we focus clearly this morning on you, high and lifted up on a throne of authority, a throne of power, but also a throne of grace and mercy. You said, come boldly unto this throne, into your presence. Lord, may we this morning be as the Father who brought the Son to you and said, Lord, if you can do anything, heal my son. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, we believe, but when it comes to applying it, we have such difficulty. Lord, folks are here seated this morning, not just to observe, but to participate. Lord, you're intimately aware of each and every individual assembled here this morning, of their need, of their problems. Lord, show them the privilege we have as your children to come to you. Come into your very presence, to climb up in the Holy of Holies onto the Ark of the Covenant and stand on the blood-stained mercy seat and look up into the column of the smoke of your glory as Jacob did at that ladder and see you. Now, Lord, may we call unto you for salvation. May we call unto you for forgiveness. May we call unto you to lead us and to guide us to what you want us to do and where you want us to be. May we take our condition, may we take our problem, may we lay it at your feet and say, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Lord, do a work in our hearts here this morning. Lord, may you put a holy resolve in our hearts to put spending time with you in prayer and in your word as a high and major priority to do every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.